everybody. We just brought the moon over the mountain.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. It wasn't much of a fight. I stood right back, but not for long.
Quiet. This broadcast is coming to you through the courtesy of
99.1 FM, CJAM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Are you listening? Now, don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll soon be with you. Boom.
Cuckoo. It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Joe Strummer Day here at CGM is a very special occasion whereby we as programmers are able to preempt our regular shows to enable focus on local issues around poverty and homelessness, issues which were the attention of many of the Clash frontman Joe Strummer songs. And so on this Joe Strummer Day of December 22nd, 2012, the anniversary of the death of Joe Strummer, You Talking to Me presents a special program with discussion on these topics with guests Jenna Foley, Chair of the Homeless Coalition of Windsor Essex County and Executive Director of the Youth and Family Resource Network of Essex County, Tamara Kowalska, Chair of the Board of Directors of the Windsor Youth Center, and Ron Dunn, Director of Development and Community Relations at the Windsor Downtown Mission. Thank you all for being on the show today. Jenna, maybe you can start by telling us about both the Homeless Coalition and the Youth and Family Resource Network.
Great, thanks. Well, the Homeless Coalition of Windsor-Essex County has just celebrated its 10th anniversary, and this is a group of more than 30 organizations who serve individuals who are experiencing or at risk of homelessness across Windsor and Essex County. And we meet on a monthly basis to discuss issues related to those services, trends in a community, upcoming events, or things that need our attention. And the Youth and Family Resource Network of Essex County is an agency. It started in 1994, and then it was around 2001 when the needs in the community started to shift a little bit, and we got our first funding to do a program related to homelessness. And now I would say that actually the bulk of our services revolve around basic needs. So we do a lot of work with people who are experiencing or at risk of homelessness. We do a lot of food security work, a lot of nutrition programming, those sorts of things.
And you also got your undergrad here at U Windsor.
I did. I am a graduate. Oh, gosh. What year is it now? It'll make me feel so old.
You don't have to say.
It was 2004, maybe 2005. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very cool. And you're also recognized as a community advisory board, CAB, I guess,
yes,
for the Homeless Partnering Strategy. Can you,
yes,
tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The Homelessness Partnering Secretariat is a part of the federal government that delivers funding for homelessness programs, and they deliver a pot of funding, which is called the Homelessness Partnering Strategy, and that is delivered all across the nation, and each community receives different pots of funding. So Windsor and Essex are lumped together as one community, and we receive funding for our area for programs that address homelessness. And the City of Windsor serves as the community entity, which means they hold the funds and they distribute them to the agencies who are delivering the programs. And the Community Advisory Board serves as the group which provides direction to the community entity. So we establish the priorities for the community, what sort of are the most pressing needs, and for the last several years it has been youth related issues in our community have been identified as the largest gaps which required filling, and then we provide impartial people to sit on the community entities review board to allocate the funding for the homelessness partnering strategy.
Ron, you've been on the show before. It's great to have you back, of course. And maybe you can give us a little background again on the Windsor Downtown Mission.
Sure. We were established in 1972 as an outreach program from the United Church of Canada. We exist really to fulfill some basic mandates, which is, you know, food for the body, nurture for the spirit, shelter for the homeless, and opportunity for human growth and development. And we are funded by strictly by donations from the public. We're there to bring as many services as we can and as are needed. We've been able to respond quite well and change over the years, but our big ones are always food, shelter, and clothing. So we're happy to fit fill that need for those that need it.
Great, man. Tamara, it's wonderful to have you back as well. You're starting to be a regular around here. Your organization now has kind of become very well known in the community for what you do, so maybe you can give us a little background on the Windsor Youth Center.
We opened in October of 2011, and basically what we are is we're a safe place for young people between the ages of 16 and 24-ish to spend the evening from Monday to Saturday between 5 and 10 p.m., and what we do there is we provide a hot meal every evening, and we provide laundry services, coffee, socializing, games, as well as art and more structured activities such as help with writing resumes or homework or finding jobs, that kind of a thing. It's really fundamentally a safe and adult-supervised place for youth who are homeless, at risk of homelessness, or simply just in need of some extra support to spend the evening.
And again, this is the You Talking to Me Joe Strummer Day special here on CJM 99.1 FM, or Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. Joe, the singer for The Clash, sang about some of the issues we'll be discussing today. The show is on poverty and homelessness. And I just want to make mention of the CJM event held this afternoon with Magnificent Bastards, Chris Crossroads, and more at Villains Bistro at 256 Polisher, with proceeds going to the Windsor Youth Center. And for this event, Serbo-Canadian artist and author Nina Bunjevic had created a limited edition Joe Strummer Day t-shirt, which again benefits the Windsor Youth Center. CJM took pre-orders for the shirt. I know that the shirts on Joe Strummer Day today are priced at $40 and may still be available. You can check that out by emailing station manager Vernon Smith at statcjm@uwindsor.ca. That's statcjam@uwindsor.ca. So let's talk about what areas keep you guys the busiest. What is it you find that really needs a great deal of constant attention, especially directly with the homeless and at-risk to being homeless population, and not necessarily from the business standpoint?
Well, food is what it's all about for us. The mission tries to provide hope, as do all the organizations, I would say, but it's all about hope. You can't have hope if you have an empty stomach. If you don't know where your next meal is going to be coming from, it's hard to have hope. So we're pushing out about 130,000 meals a year now, which is a really large number. It's up 10,000 meals just from last year.
Wow.
Yeah. The food bank use in general across Ontario is up 3%, and the mission has seen a 7% increase. So that primarily is, our biggest function is to keep everybody fed. And we've been very blessed and not have to turn anybody away. So today for lunch, a couple hours ago, we had about 260 people through. It was a busy day.
I can build on that a little bit.
Absolutely.
If you talk about, creating a sense of hope or realizing a sense of hope, I think that what we try to do is we try to build a sense of community. I mean, there's hope doesn't really happen if you don't feel that you're being supported. And I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to really create a place that's not a charity so much as it is a community, a place where people feel that they can support each other, where they have something to offer each other. It seems to be working quite well. Everyone feels that they have something important to contribute. And one of the things we've noticed is that the people who come to the Windsor Youth Center, whether they're staff volunteers or youth, say that when they come there, they feel kind of normal. They feel accepted. And that's huge, especially among populations of people who are generally experiencing all kinds of discrimination, whether that's class, race, or language, or culture discrimination. So that's a huge part of it too, I think.
So kind of from your standpoint, them all there together feeling they're kind of at home with one another is...
Right, and also feeling that they're not accepting charity so much as... I mean, the way my personal view is that what we're doing is we're just trying to fairly redistribute resources, that doesn't really happen in this world. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to redistribute those resources in a way that everyone can at the very least get their basic needs met, like food and what Jenna was talking about as well. We're all focused on that, but the foundation of that and what what is behind that is a very, actually, it relates to what Joe Strummer was talking about. You know, it's a somewhat revolutionary idea that we distribute our resources fairly and equitably.
Mm-hmm. And Jenna, what areas keep your organizations the busiest?
Particularly for the Youth and Family Resource Network, I would say the biggest difference that just jumps to mind immediately between us and the mission or WIC is their location. So they're both located in sort of the more downtown Windsor area. The majority of their the people who receive their services, I'm assuming, come by on foot. And whereas we serve the county municipalities, our biggest barrier is always transportation. We find a lot of people who are isolated due to their geographic position within the county, unable to access either education resources or employment resources. There might be services that are available to them, but they can't get there. One of the big things that our agency does is we make regular trips to food banks because we have clients who might live in Essex but can't get to the Essex food bank. So we have to take them there and bring them back with their supplies. And that's one of the things that we find, particularly when dealing with homeless youth, mm-hmm. is Tamara was speaking about creating a sense of community. If you're from, let's say, Leamington, and you've been born there, raised there, all your friends are there, you find yourself homeless, it's disheartening for us when we sometimes, and we do sometimes have to tell people that in order to be housed, we'll have to take you to Windsor because there's nothing available in the community for you right now. And we find that in every municipality, so be it Amherstburg, Essex, Lakeshore, any part of the county, there's a real lack of affordable housing, and there are no emergency shelters located in the county at all. So for us, when we're talking about creating a sense of community, it's also allowing people to remain in the communities where they live to receive the services that they need. So that's more the YFRN perspective. On the part of the Homeless Coalition, I think one of the things that we see that hasn't really been mentioned, everything mm-hmm. that they've said already is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But one of the other major concerns we see are people who are inadequately or unsecurely housed. So it's not always just about people who are experiencing homelessness. It's about people who might have a roof over their heads, but it's not sufficient for their needs. And they're really going to be homeless very soon if they don't receive the assistance they require.
Let's look at the same question from the business aspect. What types of things on a regular basis need to be focused on to continue providing the resources that you do? And we'll get into funding a little bit later, but I'm talking about the day-to-day activities that your organizations go through to meet your mandates and mission statements. Is it recruiting, help from other organizations, maybe working with volunteers and those types of things? They must require a great deal of attention in turn to help those that are less fortunate. So from the business aspect of it, what are some of the things that you really have to focus on?
Well, I mentioned that transportation is one of the biggest things that we struggle with, and we have in the past had a volunteer driver program, which for a variety of liability-related issues has fallen by the wayside. It's not something that we promote anymore. So what we do is a lot of driving as a staff. So we're always looking for people who are ready to help. And what I'm trying to say is that we need volunteers, but as much as volunteers are excellent and we appreciate their assistance, a lot of times what we need is people to provide more tangible goods and resources.
Sure.
So, for example, we have two transitional units in Leamington. I mentioned there's no emergency shelter, which is true, but we have two transitional units for people who are experiencing homelessness, and they're fully furnished, and they provide a person who would be absolute homeless with a roof over their head, with a place to sleep, and with pots, pans, cutlery, those sorts of things. And those sorts of things, when the people are ready for independent living, we like to help them get set up on their own. So those are things that constantly need to be resupplied and refreshed.
Mm-hmm. I would say just to sort of keep the doors open every night at 5 requires hours and hours and hours of communication from 9 to 5 during the day. And it's communication with all the different people that you mentioned. Other organizations, the partnerships that we create are vital. We can't do this on our own, and there's no reason to. So other sort of partnerships are very important, but also communicating with our staff and having our staff communicate with the volunteers and having the volunteers and the staff communicate with the youth, and then also communicating with different suppliers. For example, we have a weekly delivery from Forgotten Harvest, and they deliver fruits and vegetables to us, and that's at no cost. But there's always some sort of communications connection that has to be made, and whether it's by email or by telephone or in person is also wonderful. There's always someone to meet, someone to talk to, someone to connect with, and I think that without those connections, nothing could happen. Which is why something like the Homeless Coalition has become so crucial, and why just, you know, I know these two people in the room right. from, you know, previous experience, and if I didn't, we wouldn't be here, you know, the Windsor Youth Center wouldn't be there.
From the mission standpoint, we're very blessed with an army of volunteers, really. Those relationships have to be, I guess, managed, and as does the relationship with our donor base. So those types of things are I wouldn't say a challenge, but certainly a time-consuming part of what we do, right? To keep the mission, you know, we could have 300 to 350 people a day go through our door. That requires a lot of bodies to facilitate that. We have a very small, dedicated, but small staff, and so we do rely on the relationships we have. And we talk about three T's and P and the P, which is time, talent, treasures, and prayer. Those are those kind of what makes the mission tick on a daily basis in terms of the business side. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of folks come through our doors with issues that need to be addressed. Mental illness, from mental illness problems to, hey, I need a pair of shoes, right? So all of those things, it's such an individualized, I'm sure mm-hmm. Jenna and Tamara can relate, it's such an individualized service, right? We have this blanket, you know, we can give you a brochure that says, here's what we do.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's really about each person that comes through the door. Everybody's needs are different. Some people just need to talk to you. Some people need a belt or shoes or something to eat. So it really is the ability to be flexible and to remain, you know, based a ministry based on compassion. That, to me, that's what makes organizations successful. And certainly the people in this room are doing that every day. So I think that's, I wouldn't call it a challenge, but it is part of the day-to-day grind of working at the mission and keeping the boat afloat, as they say.
I'm Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. Now, another question I'd like to pose to you as a group is, how far have we come in the fight against poverty and homelessness locally here? This could be based over time, the time of your respective organizations, how long you've been around, or from farther back, if information's available, if you have any statistics to share or anything like that, great. We can also discuss how far we might have come in combating these issues based on gender, race, age, etc. And so again, how far have we come in the fight against poverty and homelessness locally?
You know, not to be a pessimist, but I think there's a lot of great work that's been done, and I certainly appreciate and recognize the history and those that came before me and before the mission even. But it's, you know, it's like drinking out of a fire hose, right? It's such a big task, and it's such a huge problem. I personally, you know, and ladies chime in here, I don't think we've come that far. You know, we have agencies in place, and we have, you know, systems. But until poverty is eradicated, then I think, not speaking for any agencies, I feel inadequate, because there's so much more to be done. There's so many people out there that are hungry, homeless, and hurting that, you know, they just need help. And, you know, we're doing it 7 days a week, and if there was 10 days in the week, we would do that too. But we're just...
It'd still need 11 or 12.
And still need 11 or 12, yeah. Right. So, you know, from our perspective, a 2006 study showed in Essex County that 1 in 10 people are still living in poverty. And that was in 2006. Nothing's gotten better since then in terms of the local economy. So I just really feel that, you know, we haven't gotten that far. The number one user of food banks is still children. That's, you know, as a parent, that's a hard pill to swallow.
I hear and understand everything that Ron is saying, and to an extent I agree with him. I would say I think we have made progress. I think there are programs and services that didn't exist before that address needs now. But I think the reason why it looks like we haven't made any progress is because the need is growing. So as much as we can do more and more, if the need is growing and growing, it doesn't look like you're making any real progress, even though your capacity has increased. What I would say is I think a lot of the services that are offered are absolutely essential and required, and they're also reactionary. They're there to address the problem as we see it in front of ourselves, and I think that in order to really make more progress in the future, we need to start looking at what do we need to do to be proactive to prevent these cycles from continuing.
Well, yeah, all of that, absolutely. You know, I think people sometimes who are jaded will say to me, oh, well, you can't change the world. I don't think I've ever personally, no, I have claimed to try to change the world, but I also tend to think that the only way that I can go about my own, you know, waking up in the morning and just getting stuff done is to think that perhaps we need to at least keep alive an alternative way of being in the world, you know. And what's happening right now is the overarching systems that are in place are just flat out oppressive. And that's sort of what Joe Strummer, I think, was saying. He talks a lot about oppression. He absolutely was very clear about the relationship between poverty and oppression. And that's what's happening. You know, we're living within systems that are just inherently oppressive. So until we actually take some very, you know, serious measures to challenge those systems, then I think what people like us might be doing is just keeping alive some sort of alternative way of being until it can be implemented in a larger way. So I feel very hopeful, you know, that yes, there's only three of us in the room, but you want to know what? There's how many people in our organizations, and then how many volunteers, and then, you know, how many other organizations and their volunteers and their staff. So there's actually quite a lot of people keeping way of being alive, and I think that there is hope. But have we done it yet? Oh, no. No, no.
Yeah, I think obviously you make a difference, but you'll continue having to make that difference. Mm-hmm. And lastly, let's focus a little bit on what is needed to get to the next level. Obviously, funding is always an issue, and obviously you can all speak to that. But also, if funding is available, or in some cases not enough, what needs to be done? What other resources would you guys need to implement these issues, and what might you like to see in place for helping this along?
Well, I mentioned before that one of the struggles we have in the county is a real lack of affordable housing. If you look at the StatsCan breakdown of things, I think it's about 56% of the market for housing in Ontario is single-family homes, which means the other, or maybe that's backwards, either 56 is single-family homes or it's 44 is single family homes. Regardless, the percentage in Kingsville of single family homes is 87%. So I might say that and that sounds boring to you, but what that means to me is that when I have a youth who comes to me with nowhere to go, if they want to stay in the community of Kingsville, they're at a real disadvantage because there are no apartment buildings or things like that, generally speaking, for them to be housed in. So creating affordable housing in the county is something that we would really like to see. And I had another point, but it escaped me. So I'll pass on to Tamara, and I'm sure it will come back.
Well, I think that Jenna mentioned that it's one of the most difficult things that they struggle with is transportation. Did that remind you? Go for it.
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, it did remind me, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Tamara, but I was going to say the other thing is, as much as all three of our organizations can always use more funds, and no matter how much money you give us, we will find a way of spending it to help people in need. I think what really needs to change is the level of income for the people who we serve. I think that if you look at the monthly assistance rates for both Ontario Works and the Ontario Disability Support Program, they are at such low levels that I'm not sure how you can ever expect somebody to be able to become self-sufficient. So until we spend a great deal of time, energy, and money on addressing the needs of individuals, it's going to be hard to see any sort of systemic change. Mm-hmm. And sorry, thank you for
No, that was, yes, very well put. But yeah, I think transportation is, even within Windsor, a big problem. It's certainly just $250 doesn't seem like a lot, but to someone who has no money, that's unaffordable. So I think that, you know, transportation is something that I'd like to see people really focus on and how to make that accessible to more people. But also, too, organizations like ours do need funding. That's just a fact, you know, and I think a lot of people are very generous and with stuff, with food and clothing and housewares. But sometimes what gets forgotten is that we also have to pay bills, we have to pay staff, and we have to administer these programs, and that costs money. So funding is crucial. And sometimes people think that the cost of let's say, social services or the cost of running these agencies is very high. But I think that one thing that I'd like to keep in people's minds is, well, what is the cost of not having these programs in place? You know, we're already watching Windsor decline in terms of economics. And if we don't provide some sort of support, if we don't provide some sort of, I don't want to say safety net, I want to say sense of community where we support each other, where we contribute to each other's welfare, then I think the cost of not doing that is going to be much higher. We're going to lose people. More and more people are just going to leave Windsor, you know, and there are people very attached to Windsor. This is a wonderful place to be. But we, you know, we need jobs too. That's one of the things that our youth want. You know, I see probably 25 kids a night who tell me they want a job. They will do anything. And there's just not that many jobs out there right now. There's so much competition for the few jobs that are there. And the people who have jobs aren't leaving their jobs because they're frightened of not being able to find another job. So that's another thing that's really important is employment, funding, and transportation are key.
To hold a job, they need the transportation, so it
right.
becomes this
yeah.
ripple effect.
Even to go for a job interview, you know, you need to be able to travel to your job interview.
Sure.
And yeah.
Well, I agree with both Jenna and Tamara, and I think that it comes down to, for me and for the mission, we need more assistance from people that can make a difference, right? Mm-hmm. Funding, we always need, everybody always needs funding, and to Jenna's point, no matter how much we get, the need always outweighs what you bring in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. However, you know, we need to help these people out one at a time. There is no system, there is no safety net that's going to pick up everybody. Somebody always slips through the net. And we need to look at those people. You know, the government is all about cuts, right? So let's get rid of the programs at, closing Cedar Springs, for example. Pushing people through hospitals that need to stay, that have mental illness. We had a guy picked up yesterday. He's back today. He should not be out for his own safety, right? Not for any other reason. The system is broken. Nobody wants to really look at that system and, you know, make any effective changes because it's going to cost money. To Tamara's point, what's the cost of not fixing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that we need to look at our medical system and we need to look at education.
Mm-hmm.
Our young people aren't getting the education that they used to get. We have to help them to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
In order to stay in school, they have to have a decent home life. All of those things, you know, I came through that system myself. You have to have somebody there. If I didn't have somebody there to kind of give me not a hand out, but a hand up, I might be part of the system now, right? So I think we really need to look at the big picture. There's groups out there doing that, you know, and I applaud them. There needs to be more of them. And the government needs to take responsibility. To some extent, you know, they've created a system and they maintain a system that's broken that causes, you know, greater issues. And until they are willing to admit that, until they're willing to come down and, you know, come have lunch at the mission and see what it's like, you know, go down to WIC and see what's going on. I think that they need to do that in order to understand and appreciate and to finally come up with a solid plan on how we're going to beat poverty.
A better solution rather than just patching things up sort of along the way. Did you want to say
Sorry,
something?
I did just want to add into mm-hmm. that because I agree exactly with what Ron is saying. And when we look at this, the problem, it's so large and so complex and the way everyone is funded separately, it looks like there's a lot of money going around. But when you look at the issues of education, about mental health, about housing, about social services, those are four different ministries at the provincial level. So unless those four ministries get together to talk about how they're all the problems are interrelated and how they need to work together to solve it, it doesn't really matter how much we try and work on it at a trickle-down level. It really needs to come from one integrated solution at the top. And that was sort of the point I didn't make very well earlier when I was sort of like hinting at, as much as we love our volunteers, we require more. And I think Tamara made that point a lot better, that these are complex issues that cannot be solved with love alone, as cold as that might sound. We deal with people with serious mental health issues, and you can't just ask some little old retired lady with the greatest heart in the world to be able to help some of these people. We really need the system, the ministries, the funders to really recognize that we need an integrated solution that requires professional trained staff who are funded appropriately.
I think collaboration too is the key. I see a lot of agencies coming together more now than maybe in the past. Certainly we all know each other in this room, and that I think is at least a step in the right direction towards filling those gaps, right?
If I can add something too,
I'm sorry. go ahead.
I was just thinking as you were talking about the government, and it's funny because we always tend to speak about the government as though it's something separate and removed from us, but I mean, really, the government is sort of these people that we've supposedly chosen to represent us and the way we would like our money.
Don't they
money
tend
spent.
To make themselves?
Well, that's
hear that
I'm
way.
Not here to.
That's another show, I guess.
That's another show. But what I'm saying is that I think even the homeless people that we serve, even the homeless youth that I know and speak with every day, even they, when they have money, spend money. You can't spend money in Canada without paying tax, and so everybody is contributing to the government. It's not that a homeless kid on the street is not a contributor. They are, because when they get a bit of money, if they get social services or OW, well, then they're going to the store and they're paying their HST and all of that. So
Sure. We
all are contributors. We're all the government. And I think that part of the problem is that we think of ourselves as something separate, and that's overarching. And because we tend to do that, there's a sense that we have no power,
So which one of us should run?
I think not me is all I'm saying.
We're all different ridings, so we can all run.
There you go.
When you do, I want you on my show. Jenna, can you tell us about any recent or upcoming event that your organization has held?
Well, National Housing Day was just in November. So there was a forum that was held on November 20th to recognize that in the area. And we had a great turnout. We were really thrilled to see so many people from so many different sectors come out to recognize all of the good work that's happened in our community and to talk about what we're going to be doing going forward. And then other than that, we have the Homeless Coalition does a backpack program, and we're looking at changing that this year, but looking at this winter, making sure that we have supplies going out to everybody who needs them.
Great. And I just wanted you to tell me a little bit about the film Hidden, which was produced by the Youth and Family Resource Network.
Sure. That was filmed in the summer of 2010 and premiered that fall, and since then has been seen by thousands of people all across the county and abroad. I get calls and emails on a very regular basis from other municipalities who want to be able to see it to show to their constituents and their politicians to make them recognize that the issue exists. It was a documentary we filmed with a group of youth with lived homelessness experience, talking about what it's like to be homeless in Essex County, and the transportation issue was a big push. But it was just about raising awareness and some education pieces, because still to this day, I will tell people that I work for an agency that handles or works with homelessness in Essex County, and people are like, what are you talking about? There's no homelessness in the county. We don't see people, in sleeping bags on the side of the road, but it's there. It's a very real and significant problem.
Mm-hmm. Where can listeners find more information on both organizations?
Well, the Homeless Coalition has its own website. If you Google Homeless Coalition Windsor Essex, it will be the top result. Our agency website is resourcenetwork.ca. And anybody interested in viewing the documentary Hidden can find it. There are multiple copies at the Windsor Public Library.
And Ron, I imagine you're especially busy this time of year. And what have you got going on?
Well, Christmas is a crazy time at the Mission. We've always got something going on. But our big push right now is, of course, the Windsor Classic, which is a two-day road hockey challenge, December 28th and 29th. It's $10 a play. It's going to be a great time. We have some people from the Red Wings and some Leafs alumni coming out. Lots of great prizes. DowntownMission.com is where all the information is. All the money's coming to the mission. And that was, again, you know, one of our partners, Investors Group, stepping forward to be a leader and to put this on for us. So we're really hoping that it's a huge success, and invite all your listeners to put a team together or join one of our teams.
Great. And where can they find more information on that and the mission?
Yeah, downtownmission.com is everything you need is laid out right there. You can donate your time, you can donate your dollars, or you can just read about what's going on next.
Great. And Tamara?
The most recent thing, I guess, would be the Joe Strummer Day show at Villains. Some of the proceeds are going to the WIC. But recently we did, with the help of OMS Entertainment and Stagehouse Multimedia, produce a film. And that was somewhat inspired by Hidden. And actually, the film Hidden was very instrumental in helping us to set up and create the Windsor Youth Center, because I've gained a new respect for the medium of film. It's very immediate, and it really draws people in. And so once some of the people from the United Church had seen the film Hidden, they were able to decide that youth homelessness was a priority, and we did get our startup money of $20,000 a year and a half ago, partly because of that. But then to celebrate the WIC's 1 year anniversary, we did produce a film called What Is Home, and there was a book that accompanied that as well, and that was very well received. We had a premiere at the Capitol Theater, a couple of smaller showings at some of the local United Churches, and I believe that we have a few, no concrete dates yet, but a few plans in the works to show the film again, once at the university, a few churches, and we might be taking this into Toronto and Detroit as well in the future. So
great.
Mm-hmm. Buy the book. It's a great
book. Buy the book,
I did.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I have a copy. I got it signed. It's amazing.
You had it signed by some of the youth, yeah?
I did.
Oh, yeah, they'll sign it. No problem.
I actually have a copy myself. So
excellent.
Where can listeners find the WIC online?
We have a website. It's the Windsor Youth Center, that's re.org. And we also have a Facebook page. And what I recommend is people to just stop by Monday to Saturday from 5 till 10. Come by, have a coffee, come for dinner, chat with the youth, the volunteers.
Then we need the address as well.
1321 Wyandotte Street East.
All right. Yeah. Great stuff. I really appreciate you all being on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
In closing, I would like to express not only thanks to my guests today, but gratitude for the work they do. Jenna Foley, Chair of the Homeless Coalition of Windsor-Essex County and Executive Director of the Youth and Family Resource Network of Essex County. Tamara Kowalska, Chair of the Board of Directors of the Windsor Youth Center. And of course, Ron Dunn, Director of Development and Community Relations at the Windsor Downtown Mission. I think a little from everybody goes a long way, so we need to support these and other organizations like them. And programming like we have here at CJM is a way we can do our part by bringing shows like this to the local Windsor-Detroit community. I hope all our listeners are enjoying this year's Joe Strummer Day programming. And if I could leave you with one thing, it would be this. Just because others may be less fortunate does not make them any less important. Thanks for joining us on this You Talking to Me special. I'm Big JD, and I'll see you next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for my Boxing Day special with Windsor Amateur Boxing Club coach and champion, Charlie Stewart.